Arthur Neiman is a relentless driver of the e-government initiatives, particularly those involving semantics and communities of practice. So we're really happy that to have him with us today.
I'm not there yet.
I beg your pardon? All yours, friend.
Thank you very much, Peter, and welcome to everyone. And I am honored by the invitation to do this. Peter and I agreed that we'd call this harmonizing semantics and e-government. I kind of have three roles. I'm on the EPA Enterprise Architecture team, where I work for the deputy CIO and the CIO. Our CIO is Kim Nelson. She is also co-chair of the CIO Council's Architecture and Infrastructure Committee. So my internal and external management are nicely aligned that way. And then I was recently asked to co-chair the new Semantic Interoperability Community of Practice, which falls under another CIO Council committee called Best Practices. And I'll show you a diagram of all this a little later on. So I go to the next slide, and I apologize. There's some workmen right above me pounding on the floor, and I hope that won't disturb too much, and it'll be over shortly. It's one of those timing things that never fails. And going to the next slide, I always feel like I need to explain why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I'm still sort of amazed that I've been able to do this in the government, which traditionally has been very siloed in its activities. I've been fortunate to be able to work cross agency for a number of years, and that came as a result of leading a team that did a pilot project with XML and Voice XML Web Services. And to my amazement, we were given a special award by Mark Foreman, who just departed as what was called the OMB e-government czar. He went to Silicon Valley to start a new company. And the Quad Council, that was almost 2 years ago to the day. Then I was asked to lead a web services working group for the CIO Council. And we did a number of pilot projects, but the one that's most pertinent here is the one that Top Quadrant has stepped forward to do. And it was called Semantic Technologies for e-Government. And the story there is that the award led to a working group. The working group led to a pilot. The pilot led to a very successful conference at the White House Conference Center last September 8th. And then that led to the formation of this Semantic Interoperability Community of Practice. So that's all kind of amazing, the way that all unfolded, thanks to senior management support and the goodwill and expertise of a lot of people that participated in this.
Yeah, there was one person from Top Quadrant at the meeting this past week. Do you remember what her name was?
Irene Polakoff.
Irene, okay, got it.
Yeah, actually, we'll get into that in a few more slides. She leads Module 2 of the white paper that we're putting together in what we call the PSYCHE for short.
Yeah,
anyway,
Rob,
all these pilot projects of necessity have to support the development of what's called the Federal Enterprise Architecture, or FEA for short, the Data and Information Reference Model, and its data management strategy, which I've been involved in developing. They are in final OMB review right now and will be made public shortly. And then within our CIO Council, one of the committees, the other committee as I call it, the AIC, we are working on a generalization of a federal enterprise architecture, namely a government enterprise architecture. Next slide. And my screen is blank. But is everybody else's screen blank? Should I refresh? Let's see. Oops. I got to re-log in again. It says...
Yeah, you refreshed the wrong place. So refresh on the...
I got to log in again there. Okay, now I got a page. Okay. Here's the slide on organizational relationships I promised. And I guess I need to refresh, clean that up a little bit. You see at the very top the Industry Advisory Council, which are usually the large system integrators, but also a number of small businesses now. advise the CIO Council, and the CIO Council works with the Office of Management and Budget, Federal Enterprise Architecture Program Management Office. Then we have three committees on the CIO Council: Architecture and Infrastructure, Workforce Connections, and Best Practices. And it's under Best Practices that we've been asked to start this new Semantic Interoperability Committee of Practice. And recently, the Architecture and Infrastructure Committee sent out a new community of practice itself called the Chief Architects Forum. And so we feel this is a very good place in which to have these, or now we have an opportunity to have those two communities interact to work on the interoperability problem. Going to the next slide, thought I should make you aware of some upcoming events. Everything we do at the CIO Council is open collaboration with open standards, as we say, is our mantra. Peter mentioned taxonomies, I believe. Next Wednesday, we have a joint workshop with SICOP and what we call the Collaboration Expedition Workshop. Peter has participated in that. Susan Turnbull at the GSA, the General Services Administration, leads that. And it's the kind of situation we really like, where we've run a number of workshops, but occasionally people who attend the workshop say, do you think I could make a presentation, or do you think I could even organize a whole workshop? And in this case, Michelle Baczynski, who is co-editor of the ISO topic map standard, stepped forward and actually organized this whole workshop on multiple taxonomies. The agenda for it is posted at that web address. Shortly thereafter, we have another workshop on May 11th that is on essentially software component development, reuse, and management.
The April 28th meeting, is that open also?
That's open, but it's starting to fill up. A lot of demand for that.
I think
the room we're in, and the registration, the information for that is at that website. You need to send an email to Renee Hughes at the GSA, and her email address is there. And the same for the May 11th one. Renee Hughes is also the one to email, so you have a badge ahead of time.
Oh, the brand.
Hopefully a seat. The room we have only holds about 120, but they're excellent facilities.
Brand.
Coming out of our last SICOP meeting, I'm going to explain more what we're doing in SICOP, but meeting number two, Leo Orp at MITRE has graciously volunteered to host that on May 19th. I couldn't hear that if that was for me.
No, it's probably someone's background noise.
Background, but...
But on the April 28th session, it's actually going to be available virtually. I'm working with Susan and the NSF people. Since Adam Peace is going to present at that, also presenting remotely, so I'm helping set up the infrastructure. So.
Oh, thank you. That's great. And I'm going to show the agenda for that meeting shortly. Again, we hope the one at MITRE on May 19th would be highly connected, because MITRE has excellent connectivity in its meeting room. We'll have progress reports on the white paper modules. There are three of them. We'll drill down into that in a minute. Discussion of collaboration tools. And then we have this ongoing discussion on common upper ontologies that got kicked off at the first meeting. And we've got several people who are threading that conversation together, and we'll publish where that's found. And then we have the fourth quarterly Emerging Technology Components Conference, June 3rd, at MITRE. The special topic we've picked is populating the service grid with service components. If you look at componenttechnology.org, you'll see the history of that activity. Now here's the agenda, as I promised, on the multiple taxonomies workshop. Pretty much just follow this, but I'll highlight that another committee that I work on that's created by the E-Government Act of 2002 is a committee or a work group called Hazard Government Information. That's led by Elliot Christian, and we meet every 2 weeks at the White House Conference Center. We've had a very active discussion on how we're going to categorize or recommend to OMB a standard for categorizing government information and what the population of that government information will be, including offline resources, etc. But we've gotten into an interesting discussion recently of manual versus automated taxonomy generation, and the growing consensus seems to be that it will be a mix of the two. And one of the exciting new developments for automating taxonomies is at vivissimo.com. They have a what's called a clustering search engine that post-processes search results and categorizes them into a hierarchy. So that's something you might want to look at, and you'll hear more about at that April 28th workshop. Leo Orff gave a very interesting presentation at our first PSYCOP meeting, and I've included a few of his key slides later on in mine. Denise Bedford at the World Bank hosts what's called Taxonomy Tuesdays. We get together there every other Tuesday and have lunch and then have a discussion, and that's proved to be very fruitful. Those are not connected meetings, but again, it's something Peter or others who want to approach Denise about doing that. I think she might be willing to do that. This coming Tuesday, the first hour will be on the agreed upon theme for discussion will be integrating multiple taxonomies, and the second hour will be just open discussion. So that seems to be the evolving format. Every other Tuesday for 2 hours, we get our lunch in the cafeteria of the World Bank and then bring it to a room. And for the first hour, we discuss an agreed-upon topic, and then the second hour is open discussion. You see, Adam will be presenting on ontologies, and then we'll have a presentation from Elliot Christian talking about this work categorization of government information working group I mentioned.
Do you expect Adam to be there in person?
Pardon me?
Will Adam Pease be there in person?
No, he's planning to present remotely.
Remotely,
okay.
Yeah, I think travel was an issue there.
Yeah, he's in California.
Okay. Going to the next slide, here's the agenda for the first PSYCOP meeting, and I should indicate that we had quite a discussion of this, because this came out of the September 8th Semantic Technologies for eGov conference last year, and we had discussions for essentially about 6 months of how we wanted to start this new committee of practice, and that we did not want a conventional committee. We wanted to follow the principles, evolving principles for communities of practice, and we have some things posted at webservices.gov on what that constitutes. I'll just point them out. But basically, we're going slowly in developing building trust and consensus, and the people that are participating are not assigned by their agencies. They're volunteering, they're volunteers, and this is different than the traditional way that government has done things. So we have worked for 3 to 6 months to agree on a charter and a product, which is the white paper you see outlined there, and there are three modules. You see the people that are leading it. So Irene Polakoff from Top Quadrant is leading Module 2. It's quite interesting because it is using some of the scenarios that were surfaced in the September 8th workshop last year, like EPA provided one on children's health and the environment. Those are all posted as part of the conference proceedings at the Top Quadrant website. Michael DeConda, who's recently gone out and formed his own company, Smart Data Associates, is leading the work on roadmap for operationalizing the semantic web, and Leo and others have volunteered to work with him. Leo Orff. I think we have all told about 40 people working across these three modules the last time Rick Moore, my co-chair, and I looked at that. Rick is organizing a semantic web track over the three days of the Army Knowledge Management Conference down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the end of August, and is looking for volunteers. And that agenda, the track and the subtopics are posted at webservices.gov. If you're interested in volunteering for presentations at that conference. Part two was more of what we are really about in this community of practice, building the shared understanding. So we had three presentations. Unfortunately, we ran out of time and really only had the one, the Common Upper Ontology for Cross-Domain Semantic Interoperability from Jim Schoening up in New Jersey. But that provoked a lot of post-meeting discussion, which I alluded to earlier. Leo showed a few slides from his presentation, and I deferred mine to the next meeting. But I will touch on that a little bit today, as it's one of the pilots that we're doing. And then we talked at the end about how we want to build out this community of practice carefully and without a lot of hurry. This slide, I think, doesn't fit all. The next slide doesn't fit all on the screen. But the point is, I think it's an excellent compilation of all the items in this two-dimensional display of semantic expressive explicitness on the vertical axis and looseness of coupling on the horizontal axis, and then data on one side and applications on the other. We're moving up this, moving up both of these tracks, data and application, in the work that we're trying to do to bring this to our agencies and reflect it in the white paper. The next slide is three more slides from Leo's presentation, identifying where we are, where our interest lies. It's in a semantic interoperability across a community as opposed to any one enterprise or any individual system. The next slide I like, and I'm afraid I have to log and see what happens. Let me hit refresh.
Brent, when you press refresh, is the refresh within the browser screen, not the refresh that is on top of the browser.
Maybe I have to get this again. Let's see. Say that again, please.
When you hit refresh, do the refresh that is within your browser.
Not the refresh for the
browser. Because that
slide is Leo's categorization, I guess, of the spectrum. And the next slide is a further, and this appeared in the book that he co-authored with DeConta and Smith. And then the next slide is a further categorization of this, which I like. Let's see, I guess I have to hit this several times to add all the... okay, there we go. All right. So moving from syntactical interoperability, which XML gives us, to structural, to semantic. Then he's got another way of characterizing this in the next slide, where I'm going from weak to strong semantics. I generally like this and think this is probably what will appear in the white paper to try to explain this to non-technical people. We like these two diagrams too, and this is Michael DeConta bridging those two communities I showed you earlier, the semantic interoperability community with the enterprise architect community, and he published his article on smart data, designing the smart data enterprise in Enterprise Architecture, Architect Magazine last November. And this actually came out of our September 8th conference, again trying to bridge across these two communities of the architects who design the information systems in the agencies and those working with the semantic technologies. The whole concept here is we've evolved to where the data is now more important than the code, and we want to put the smarts in the data to be able to get more.
The point I could make there is actually when you do a logical specification of an ontology with axioms, the data is a lot like the code. That's one of the reasons why I substitute for it.
Yeah, I like that. And interestingly, at our September 8th conference, Mike DeConta proposed a declaration of data independence with 10 principles, and then challenged us all, and I supported him in that, signing up for the declaration of data independence, and then taking stock of where we are with that in our individual endeavors a year from now. And so Top Quadrant and others are planning a September 8, 2004 sequel to our first conference. The next slide now is just an overview of what I'm going to show you next. And again, I should have hopefully allayed your fears at the beginning. We're not going to go over all 74 slides in this. This presentation has grown from several iterations, and I just left it all there for completeness. I'll give you a little more history and broader context of the work, touch on just a few highlights of the two sections of the E-Government Act that require more structure and interoperability for government data and information, and where that work is beginning. Skip over Section 3, which was something that Jim Hendler and I put together for an e-government conference in February, that in itself grew out of joint tutorials that Jim Hendler and Top Quadrant have done three times now with success in getting government and non-government people trained and exposed to semantic web standards and semantic technologies. Then show you the highlights of one pilot that I've been working on, or we've been working on as a team, using using the statistical abstract of the United States. We'll just show a few highlights of that. That's live on the web. You'll have the URL for that. Talk about additional pilots. And in that regard, I just came from the Global Justice Information Sharing meeting yesterday and today, and we're standing up a registry and repository of their XML data model. They have 2,750 reusable components in it, and that's grown out of 2 or 3 years of harmonizing the data elements that are in a large number of criminal justice, police, local police systems across the country, and they're starting to get the vendors to implement their XML data model. And,
which database is this? Pardon me? Which database are you referring to with these 2700?
That's the Global Justice Information Sharing.
Global Justice.
Okay. And I'm going to post, as I do, I post everything that I'm involved in at webservices.gov, and then later on today, hopefully, I'll post under announcement the initial results of that pilot that I mentioned at the Global Justice Advisory meeting that they meet every 6 months. And so we have taken the Global Justice data model, and I'll put a URL up to that, which has about 3,000 data elements in it and an XML schema. Taken that, and we've organized all that into a registry and repository for reuse. Alright, here's the outline. As I said, not to fear, we're not going to do all the slides. Just mention that by way of background, again, we did this in 1990, started this in 1999, working with the Federal Statistical System, because it probably has its act together with regard to managing data better than any other interagency activity in the government. And if you've seen the statistical abstract of the United States, it's probably one of the best examples of manual aggregation of government information with an effort to harmonize both the semantics of the text and the data elements and about 1,500 data tables that are there. So we're talking about input to that every year that comes from about 200 programs across about 70 agencies in the government. Whole idea.
How many agencies?
About 70 that are part of the federal statistical community, and they have a website called fedstats.gov that describes this. But the idea was to make that document an XML-based living document in a distributed content network where the text and tables would be updated, would remain in the hands of their originators, would be updated, and we would work towards more and more semantic consistency and harmonization in those. Anyway, this was what was recognized in 2002. And then the eGov Act really strengthened and formalized a lot of what we've been doing informally under Mark Forman. And the conference on September 8th really got us even more focused on this. And basically, we laid out the steps we wanted to follow to doing more and more of this with government information. And Mike DeCona deserves a lot of the credit for helping us build on the original thought. Whole idea of decomposing documents into XML fragments and then constructing, adding metadata, constructing taxonomies and ontologies for reusing them, building all entirely new documents from queries, etc. A little about eGov Act, Section 207 literally uses the word taxonomy, and that's calls for things to be interoperable across agencies. That's what we piloted in 1999 and still piloting and striving for. Then Section 212 actually calls for five specific pilot projects to demonstrate data harmonization and interoperability in the government without violating privacy and confidentiality of the data, and eliminating duplicative data elements. We found in both in working on this in my agency at EPA and in working on this in e-government initiatives like e-grants, there's, of course, a lot of duplication of data elements in the forms that the citizen is asked to fill out, and that places a multi-billion dollar burden on small businesses. And we're working to eliminate that redundancy to allow them to populate common fields to multiple forms, etc. So it's a very important part of the paperwork reduction and burden reduction laws. Anyway, we're supposed to demonstrate interoperability. And then we started working on the fifth reference model as part of the federal enterprise architecture, namely the data and information reference model. Unfortunately, Bob Haycock, the OMB chief architect, recently resigned to return to Denver. So we're waiting for the appointment by Karen Emmons to replace Mark Forman of a new chief architect. But we worked very hard on this last reference model and learned a lot. And it really is where the rubber meets the road in terms of the real work of achieving semantic interoperability. And so we not only have the data and information reference model almost released by OMB for the public, the agencies have seen it. We decided that we needed something more than just a description of what we're trying to achieve with data interoperability and semantic harmonization, but we needed a strategy. So we have a strategy document that's also about to be released, and that we needed three more volumes that would actually develop the business case and contain specific examples, essentially the results of pilots, that people could see why it's important to do all this. We concluded our discussions that we needed more than ISO 11179 for this. That we needed more metadata, and Metametrics was one of the participants in this through the Industry Advisory Council, and they strongly recommended use of the Meta Object Facility, a MOF standard coming out of OMG, which they have incorporated in their products. And we actually did a pilot project that combines XML schema and MOF to demonstrate the kind of massive data integration problem that the reorganization of the Department of Homeland Security would require. These next two slides are essentially showing the current and then the current and then what we think the DRM needs to evolve to with additional metadata. And again, this is not in concrete yet, but this is just a proposal for extending the DRM beyond ISO 11179. These next three things I'll go through quickly. They're just the outline of the subsequent volumes. We agreed that we needed to provide, not only have multiple volumes, but within each address data governance, data architecture, and data sharing architecture. And this came out of recommendation of several experts, and as well as a very successful interagency effort called the Intelligence Community Metadata Working Group. I think they're probably the farthest along in the government, 15 agencies, in implementing XML and semantic technologies. They've been strongly influenced by the advice of Michael DeConto, Leo Orps, and others that participate in that activity.
Can you repeat the name of this group, please?
Yes, the ICMWG, which stands for Intelligence Community Metadata Working Group. And if you want to send me an email, I can connect you with them. But I have a link to them off of webservices.gov. They have a public-facing web page, but you have to be a government employee to get a password to drill down into it. About half their meetings are open, and about half of them are classified, requiring a security clearance for obvious reasons.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. The big five agencies you think of, the CIA, FBI, etc., and then about 10 others. They've been successful because those 15 agencies agreed to appoint a separate CIO that would govern all their activities, who has say above any individual agency CIO. So it has a very strong governance structure in order to essentially say all the data in that network will, by 2005, will be XML.
And the agenda for their meetings, is it published at least for those that are open to the public?
Yeah, well, as I said, their website is part open and part closed. You either have to be a government employee or have to be a contractor working for one of those agencies with their permission to access their website and to gain access to their meetings. And I can put you in touch with the people if you want to pursue that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. In the data management strategy, Ken Gill, who works at the Justice Department on the Global Justice Sharing Initiative, he and I were asked to write Business Driver 4, which is the one that involves semantics. And this is the outline, as you see on the screen, that we followed in that write-up and that will appear basically in the document once it's publicly released. And we were guided there strongly by the Global Justice Information Sharing Initiative experience, which I said we're pulling all together into a registry and repository along with their XML data model and schema for everybody to see. Strongly influenced by that experience, they have a very large community of people that have worked very hard for several years harmonizing a lot of data elements, and then going forward to use that to build standard documents for information exchange. So we've also worked on a series of pilot projects with a lot of other communities of practice that are listed here. We, in fact, and Peter has helped us with this, we formed a group called SIGN. Peter hosts that. We found that there was common interest in at least across three communities of harmonizing their data dictionaries, their schemas, looking forward to eventually when they might need to exchange information. That's Global Justice again, that's Environmental Information, EPA, my agency, and then Health IT Sharing. There's a growing concern among the agencies and groups that are trying to build state-of-the-art XML data exchange networks that Congress and others will just say, well, you've just built better stovepipes. You still haven't solved the interoperability problem so that on the fly, you could, if we ask you to share information, we discover you need to share information with someone else, you can do that. So this is kind of anticipatory work. Oh, there's the URL for the intelligence community that I was alluding to. It's on this slide.
What slide is that? What number?
I don't have the slide number.
31.
Thank you. Oh, there it is. Yeah, 31. And then at the bottom is the new PSYCOP. We're going to be deciding on a collaboration tool for that in the next couple of meetings. Right now, we're just putting things temporarily at those two web addresses you see there. Okay, this finishes one more slide of these communities and other activities. Within the geospatial community, Yasher Bisher has set up this e-government smart services discussion group. Of course, the Ontologue Forum, which we're talking to right now, planning another conference, hopefully on September 8th. And working with Jim Hender, I should mention the last item is very important. It's sort of the pilot of all pilots, because what we are working towards is getting enough government data examples to not only populate the data and information reference model volume, additional volumes, but to get them in the hands of people like Jim Hendler and his students to apply the latest markup languages and tools that they're developing, and also to use them in this series of tutorials that they call the Top Mind tutorials. That's a combination of Top Quadrant and the University of Maryland Mind Lab that Professor Hendler leads. So we're trying to get enough government data examples in the hands of people like that, and these will be available to everybody. It's just Jim Hendler was the first one to suggest this. This next slide, this is all I'm going to show, and then we'll jump over this section. This is what Jim Hendler and I put together for this the request of this government, this conference in February, trying to distill everything that was presented in a 3 or 4 day tutorial, et cetera. And so if you weren't at the tutorials, at least you've got the highlights of it, and Top Quadrant gives these periodically. Now, I need to figure out the most effective way to jump over a bunch of slides.
If you do an escape, what slide number do you want to go to?
Yeah, actually, I will just mention briefly this slide. This was one of the, I thought, highlights of our September 8th, one of the highlights of the Top Quadrant pilot and then the September 8th conference. We asked Top Quadrant, and they were in a position to do this, one of the reasons we selected them to do the pilot in the first place, to do a Gartner-type vendor landscape diagram. Now, this is out of date now because it was done 6 months or 9 months ago, but we found this very helpful, and Top Quadrant continues to keep in touch with these people and more. Of course, the big news is that the IBM and some of the bigger companies have now entered this semantic integration or semantic interoperability space. So they're working on an update to this. We expect to see more vendors represented here and a shift in the positioning of the vendors that are on there. Okay, I'm going to jump to the end here. And while I'm doing this, we could take a few questions. If you have any at this point, and we'll go to the...
Brent.
Yeah.
Maybe if you escape out.
Yes, actually, I'm done.
Oh, all right. Okay.
All right. Now we're at the pilot. Let me just stop and see if they're, given all that background, if there are any questions so far on all those sort of organizational matters and e-government mandate matters, where we get into more technical.
There was a mandate for health data integration taken up by the NCDHS at one point because the need for harmonization of information for reimbursement of within the Medicare, Medicaid sort of thing. Is that also included in any of these? I didn't see it mentioned.
No, but there's an umbrella for it called the Federal Health Architecture.
Right.
And the health IT sharing part of that is one of the three groups that decided to form the SINE, the S-I-N-E collaboration, the Sustainable Intergovernmental Network Exchange Collaboration. So they're partially represented there, but they have recently been designated, the Federal Health Architecture has been designated by OMB as one of the four or five major lines of business of the government for obvious
right.
reasons. And so they now have a chief architect assigned, and they are going to work on more standardization, elimination of redundancy of all the information systems that fall within that line of business.
Mm-hmm.
There is an eGov initiative also that's been working on that called the Consolidated Health Informatics. And they have been working very methodically through the standardization of the vocabulary, and I think it's about 25 to 30 areas. And one of the best examples is SNOMED, which is a proprietary system for standardizing the vocabulary for but if you've heard of that, but that SNOMED is the only one of the areas, the 25 or 30 areas, that really has a controlled vocabulary, a taxonomy, an operating system.
Been around.
I've been involved in some of those meetings. We've agonized over whether we want to embrace a proprietary system, but there really isn't anything else close to it. So, but the Consolidated Health Informatics e-government initiative is working through the standardization of vocabulary in about 25 to 30 domains.
Another one. That
if you're interested in that, I can forward that information. I get all their emails. Been tracking that. It's going to take them several years just to begin to standardize vocabulary. They've talked about pilot projects, but they're not even far enough along.
There was a guy, Campbell, at Kaiser Permanente that was involved in trying to develop a knowledge organization for the health, the NCDHS, and I'm not sure if he eventually wound up coordinating with SNOMED or not. I don't know.
Well, send me any information you have. The other thing is EPA has MOUs with both HHS, Health and Human Services, and CDC to integrate environmental health data, because a lot of environment can play a role in a lot of health issues. But we've been struggling with that that work, and we're not as far along. That's the one I'm supposed to turn to next after we finish getting our own EPA registering repository and the Global Justice one organized. Then we're going to turn to the environmental health one, and then we'll be able to look across all three of those within the SINE collaboration space for commonalities and disconnects and things like that across the data of naming and semantic conventions in those three areas. Okay, the pilot, just said, there's a little history here of how we selected this. Data and data and statistics was one of the original lines of business about a year ago when OMB started to say, well, what's next after the 24 eGov initiatives? The 24 eGov initiatives were an attempt to put into 24 bins the services that the government delivers to citizens, regardless of where those came from in an agency. The reasoning being, well, it doesn't matter to the citizen where the service comes from. In fact, we make it hard for them to have to search all over in various agencies for the services. So it was an alignment of fundamental services into 24 bins, like applying for grants, like for finding health information, etc. Then they said, well, the next stage is when you look at the major investment proposals from the agencies that total $1 million or more, actually total about $10 billion this year, they fall into about five or six bins, like health. And, well, when they did this a year ago, one of the bins was data and statistics. Those people were led by the Census Bureau were allowed to opt out because they have their house in order in terms of their management of data and its harmonization. And so while they opted out as a line of business eGov initiative, they became a logical best practice example for us to work on for semantic harmonization, since they've worked at it for quite a while and have that reflected in this annual statistical abstract, and have this Federal Committee on Statistical Methodology that works to standardize the statistical data collection in the government as opposed to the general data collection in the government. Yes, there's a lot of work to be done there to harmonize and standardize that, but the statistical data collection is farther along because, for obvious reasons, the decennial census and other things have to meet certain standards in order to be acceptable and to be used for congressional redistricting and all the important things that funding decisions and funding allocations that are based on those data that are collected. Anyway, so these are the steps, basic steps for repurposing, because this is not structured information. Well, it is. It's either unstructured in PDF files, or it's structured but in proprietary files, or namely Excel files. So this is the repurposing of all that as it's delivered on the Census Bureau webpage to first put it into a structured XML format, both text and table.
A question at this point, with all the emphasis on XML, reasonable enough, do you know if anyone has actually developed ontological representation of the XML tagging, or the tags themselves, or cross-site tagging?
Well, that's what we're going to work on with RDF and OWL with Jim Hendler. We've taken the first thing they've been working on is the business reference model. If you go to www.feapmo.gov, you'll see there are some schemas there for the federal architecture reference models. The one of particular interest is what's called the business reference model. It's essentially a taxonomy or a very weak ontology of all the government services. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so the agencies have been asked to drill down farther than that in terms of creating a taxonomy or initial ontology of their services with higher resolution than is provided in that CRM. But the idea is that could be used to create a semantic network showing the interrelationship of services regardless of where they fall in the organization. And Ralph Hodgson did a pilot in which he proposed to build that out with RDF and OWL. And he presented that at the September 8th conference, and actually used Protégé and RDF Gateway to do some initial piloting and demonstrations of it. and he and Jim Hendler, they just want to get their hands on everything we can put into XML and suggest that they use to do what you just talked about. So some of that appeared in the last tutorial that they did. I took the tutorial in December, and we actually built RDF and OWL files. I understand they did more of that in the April 4-day session, and they'll just keep doing more of that as we provide them with these government data examples. Does that answer your question?
Well, it gives me a pointer.
Okay.
Here's the details are before I know whether it's
the standards reached final recommendation but Jim Hendler has a number of very interesting tools that we've seen that he's applying to intelligence and military and wants to apply to civilian data sources. This is just the beginning of this harmonization, but the concept is to we're embedding the registry right in the repurposed XML version of the document, so that we want people to reuse the standardized, harmonized data elements if they build a new table. We want them to particularly communities and states who are starting to build statistical systems to use these as a standard as well. So we will have consistency and hopefully harmonization more than not across multiple levels of government, because almost all of the statistical data in the government originates at local levels and is aggregated up. And so we need consistency at the reporting level in order to make that more successful than not. Anyway, we'll kind of go over these steps. The detailed methodology for this was presented in an earlier presentation that's posted, and actually that's where Michael DeConte and I laid out the methodology, and we did it for this children's health report at EPA, and that is the one that we have several people working on, Unicorn and Nikita Olgovetsky, to develop an ontology for children's health so that EPA can use that ontology for organizing the limited amount of past information we have, because that's quite a new subject area, and then for organizing the research and the information going forward. So that's something we might, I don't know whether Nikita is going to be able to come and report on that at the April 28th meeting, but we're waiting for a report from him on that. And he gave an earlier report on his methodology for that he has applied for the work he has with Kodak at our October 20th conference last year. Unicorn has just recently indicated renewed interest in that, and I have a conference call with them tomorrow to see what they've done with that. But that's a specific agency need that we have surfaced for developing an ontology that we have people working on. These next slides are basically not about the semantics, just about the mechanics of getting the information in XML, and then we'll eventually get to the semantic part of that. But part of this is, we've standardized on the tag names as a template. At least in that statistical abstract, they have standardized the format of all the tables, and there is metadata associated with the tables. So we have created XML tags for the data element names for each of the tables to standardize on that. this slide, and then it appears in the markup of the table. And this is using XML Spy for this. It takes two screens to show all the markup of that metadata and the data. This, of course, the advantage of Spy is that you get a spreadsheet view of the tabular data, and you can take it back and forth between Excel and Spy for those that want to use the proprietary software, but this way we're delivering it in the open interoperable format XML with its metadata. This is just showing the cutting and pasting into Excel. And this is, again, not a non-XML part. This is just showing that using the Active Data Objects feature of the Microsoft browser, we can create we can separate presentation from display. There are two references, the XML file of, say, Table 1 of the statistical abstract shown here. The one that's used, the first one, which is used with the Active Data Object, the functionality built into the browser. The second is the one that allows you to then link to the data, which you'll see in the next. That's not it. All right. The next slide, actually, first is the mapping that is done between the data element names in the table as you want them to appear, and the data element names as they've been standardized in the XML tag set. Then I think the next slide, it shows the display of this with the link to the XML data file with its metadata. So we separated presentation from data. We deliver both. The other part of this is just a navigation facility for paging through a large table, as most of them are. Okay, still not the semantic part, but just tutorial. All right, now here's the delivery of this on the web with the structure, and we really already have a taxonomy of federal statistical data and information that has evolved over a large number of years of these 200 programs and 70 agencies all agreeing on how they want to integrate this information. There are about 30-some sections, and in each section of this, there are subsections that pretty much stay constant year to year. And they just change the words. They add a few data tables. They take away a few data tables, but this has been an amazingly consistent structure for this. Other than, unfortunately, it's not delivered with a real structure on the web, but we've done accomplished that now. So you've got detailed table of contents within each section. You've got, as we're showing here, RDF metadata for the graphics, and then the tables are real data because you can copy them to Excel and they're available in XML. And then the next slide, and this is just, again, demonstrating the copying. Now, then we can search by subsection or the entire document or across. We have many, many nodes. This is just one node. This document, while it's a huge document, is just one of many nodes on this that we've built like this, and they're on multiple servers, and so you don't have to replicate the content. This virtual integration is handled by SOAP messaging between the servers, so it looks and functions as though it's all in one server in terms of the navigation, expanding and collapsing navigation and search, but it can be distributed content. Literally, every section or subsection of this report could be on a different server if that's the way one would want to maintain this as a living document in the hands of the originators, and then be virtually assembled with self-messaging and XML. The searching is better than you get with most conventional internet search engines. And then we have quite a lot of metadata for the data. again, it's one way of dealing with the semantics of the situation. Now, here's where for each table we have the mapping of the date element name with its XML tag name, and then it's a matter of harmonizing the consistency of these things across 1,500 data tables. And then, which has pretty much been done because of the work they've done for years and the work we're adding now, then it's a matter of getting the reuse of these at the state and local level in the data collection work they use. Here's where we're going next. Bob Haycox has left with a transition plan to Karen Evans, Mark Foreman's replacement. The top three priorities were to complete this data and information reference model work that we've outlined earlier. Take another 6 to 12 months to do that. Conduct these DRM community of practice pilots. And anyone can suggest a pilot. Anyone of you on the phone or in your community could suggest a pilot. We could talk about the process for vetting and accepting those pilots and even funding them. And we very much like something like that to come out of this Ontolog community. And continue to develop and implement further these DRM volumes and the data management strategy. The last slide is the component, is the pilots that are going on. The first one we just talked about. The third one is the one that I mentioned earlier in the conversation. We're well into that. The second one is one that's just started to come together. This country has agreed to develop a national indicator system. These are indicators of economic, social, environmental, etc., well-being, based on these community statistical systems that I've referred to. So we're just starting to put this together in a series of meetings and pilot projects. The intelligence community already has in place what they call their XML enablement strategy and tool evaluation, and we propose to do a joint pilot with them if we can find and agree upon non-classified data in which to do that. ComponentTechnology.org, which Peter participated in, we have proposals from the participants of this community to populate a service grid of service components, and these would need to address the semantic interoperability issue and comply with the semantic standards. Already mentioned the categorization of government information that we're working in. Susan Turnbull, my colleague, now has approval from that committee to start the outreach to involve state and local governments in the harmonization of semantic interoperability of their information. And then finally, we're supplying this to Jim Himmler and Top Quadrant. We'll supply the results of this to anyone else that would like to work with that information to advance the state of our understanding and implementation of semantic technologies, web, and ontologies. And that's pretty much it. How did I do on the time?
Ah, fantastic. The nominal session time lasts until 2:55 your time. But then if nobody, if they don't kick us out, I mean, we can sort of use the bridge a little longer. So we have at least, I would say, a good 10-15 minutes for questions. Thank you very much, Brian. And that was a very comprehensive the presentation telling us what's going on with e-government in terms of making use of semantic technologies. So maybe we
You're
could...
You're welcome, and thank you.
If people refresh their page on the conference call page, down near the bottom, we've got some questions there already, and maybe, Grant, you can field those first, and then we'll...
And I need to go... Oh, I hit escape, right?
Right.
Hit escape, and then I'll get back to the... where am I going to find the...
question. Let's see. There we go. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So looking down at the bottom.
If you want to go local on your machine, that's possible too.
Okay. Let's see. Do I iconize? Oh, I'm sorry. I just changed it again. All right, I need to. Let's see. I'm still not seeing the.
Okay, if you click on the
seeing the questions. Just
the IE page, the Internet Explorer page. On the left.
I'm at the top level of the Ontolog website.
Right. Forget this one. At the bottom, the iconized applications.
Yes,
three icons to your left. Right.
Yes. Okay. And I need to go to. Oh, here it is. Okay. I got it.
Okay.
Brand, do you see a community practice like Ontolog, which is assembled at least in the beginning, out of its membership's passion for the work, be funded to do some real meaningful work for the eGov initiatives, and in doing so, be able to retain its pursuit? Excellent question, and I would say that's what we're trying to do with the PSYCOP. And actually, Rick Morris led out with the PSYCOP because he had proposed a multi-million-dollar program with the Department of Army, and is still hopeful of getting funding for that. He has a very ambitious 5-year plan laid out for this work, and so it made it logical for someone who, and I think he probably has, well, except for people who would be with DARPA, probably has the largest single agency budget that I'm aware of for doing this work, so it was logical for him to lead, because that would provide us with a basis for that. And so I think that's been a drawing card for people to participate, thinking that there would be some funding if they needed it to continue their activities. What he's saying is we need to finish the white paper so we make the business case and put together that end of August presentation, the knowledge management, the Army Knowledge Management Conference. From his point of view, and that's on the military side, I'm saying on the civilian side, my CIO has asked me to try to operationalize as many of the pilots that we've done within the next 3 or 4 months, so she can leave that as her legacy before leaving government, and I'll know more about that. So between us as co-chairs, we're really trying to help bring that to pass.
Who is your co-chair, the person?
Rick Morris with the Army.
No, but the woman you were talking about wants to leave pilots as a legacy.
Oh, that's Kim Nelson, my CIO at EPA.
Kim Nelson, okay.
So I'm meeting Monday afternoon, in fact, to have more discussions of that. And so that's why I say that we've got at least, and she attended the September 8th conference along with her chief of staff and others, and they contributed this children's health scenario, children's health ontology scenario at that September 8th conference. And you can see that on the top quadrant webpage from the proceedings. And so that's where we were asking, you know, any and all to tell us how they would address that.
Well, Brenda, are any of the pilots that have been already shown or in process, are they available for viewing? I'd like to see what somebody considers a pilot. I've never seen one.
Yeah.
Well,
if you go to webservices.gov and
okay.
you go to pilot projects and it's pilot project documentation, I believe, is the category. It's down the bottom of that page.
Okay.
That's kind of more like a blog than a conventional website. But, for example, the eForms for eGov pilot project has a whole separate website, very extensive participation and documentation. So that's one. There are several others there, but we could talk offline and go through. There are about 15 pilots that were done in the Web Services Working Group.
Sure.
Ralph Hodgson put together a group of about six or seven on semantic technologies that we presented to EPA senior management last July. Thought we had a good chance of doing it until we got a like a $25 million cut in our budget in August to put that on hold. So we're still very committed to wanting to lead out the semantic implementation in the civilian side of the government. Has just been thwarted, as most agencies have, by budget cuts or funding uncertainty.
Yeah.
That's why we're saying the participation in PSYCOM, if we have enough, you know, like you have a representative or two from the Ontolog Forum participating in PSYCOM, we could have good coordination and communication across these two communities and further the interests of both within that forum. But basically, we're saying that between Rick Morris and I, we essentially providing a clearinghouse function for what you're asking about. Second one, do you think the COP membership
my question here is,
you know, there are three ways of funding the pilots. We're saying we set up people all along. You can do them yourself, and it usually pays off. We have another number of success stories because pilots are not being funded to do R&D. It's like being funded to do something quick for a specific need, like a matchmaking process. But I don't cross over into the procurement, which would destroy the integrity of the process, because someone would say, oh, well, Fran fostered you as a pilot, and then he went over to EPA and wrote a work statement to procure you. So I don't do the latter part. I just try to match you up with a need an agency has, demonstrate a pilot, and vet it, and get the endorsement of the activity of the quality of the pilot work, and then let you and the agency go forward beyond that. So we've had companies come to us and say, just knowing that we can be part of that kind of a process and that we're doing something the government wants, it's sufficient for our investors to support us up to a year in doing this. Others will say, we can't do a single thing until you pay us. So we work on that, but we say, you know, that really is what formal projects are about, and everybody, they definitely have to make those completely competitive.
Sorry.
The third way is this SBIR program, which is a wonderful program, lots of money in it, and we can go in. That probably should be discussed offline, but we already have several success stories of companies with semantic technologies coming through that very successfully. The Vivissimo is one, and Image Matters is another. That's Yasher Bisher, who participates in the PSYCOP. You could talk to Yasher about coming through the SBIR. Essentially $1 million, you have to compete for it, but you don't pay it back. And I would say it's best to do this on a one-on-one basis, where you come to me with questions about pilots and getting funding, and we talk about this one-on-one, because I need to know more about what you want to do,
I'll call you at your earliest convenience. When you're free, I'll have your card.
I'll give you my cell phone. It's 202-236-6432.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to be off tomorrow, so if you do it next week, that would be better. But, yeah, that's the way these pilots develop. They develop out of discussions and ideas for collaboration.
I'm very interested in demos, because that's the only thing that people pay attention to.
Well,
People with money.
Yeah. Well, that's the bootstrapping approach, as we say, to gaining acceptance. But one of the rules is if we find that more than one person wants to do essentially the same thing, then the rule is open collaboration with open standards. It means that you have to collaborate with the other people that want to do it, because we can't do an individual pilot with everybody that wants to do an individual one. There's just enough time. There's enough people and hours in the day to do it. So, and we openly vet these. We discuss them, and if somebody says, well, I'd like to participate in that, or I'm already working on that, then we have to be inclusive. We can't have anybody go to OMB or the CIO Council and say, yeah, you said open collaboration with open standards, but we weren't included. So, so vendors who might be competitors might have to work together on pilots, which most are willing to do, given that's our ground rules, but some say it's unacceptable and we can't do that. So very few have said that. Anyway, I don't know if this really answers the question, other than just saying we probably have to have individual discussions to thoroughly answer the question.
Yeah, well, I'll try to follow the references on the website, and I would like to talk to you. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So next week, some point, I'll check.
Yeah, give me a call. Send me some background information, and then be patient because I have to read it, think about it, and then we have to have a discussion or two. And then we like to work you into the, as Peter can explain, like to work you into the meeting, because the rule is we need to have some presentation of the pilot idea, and then we follow the principle, hearing no major objection from anybody, then we go ahead. But that's kind of the process we follow. It's not like a formal standards organization standards proposal, because that would take too long, and that's not what pilots are about either. But we need to have some public exposure to it, so it's not labeled a hidden thing, and that usually produces good ideas and even collaboration. So.
Yeah, Brent, if you look at the questions again, there was one that Cecilia Hickel asked about metadata. I mean, you probably answered most of it in your presentation, but do you have anything else to add to that question?
Pardon me, Peter. There was somebody pounding right above me when you said that. I couldn't hear.
Okay. Under the question section, the first question that was posed by Cecilia.
Say anything more about the first question?
The question is, she asked, is there metadata publicly available for the e-government initiatives, i.e. catalog identifiers used for product purchases? Question. So the access to the publicly available sites you've already included in your presentation. Do you have anything else to add to this question?
Yeah, well, I can add quite a bit. I've spent a lot of time working with government information, and if you want to send me a specific request or tell me, you know, what kind of information you're looking for a pilot project or doing an ontology, I can think be a real help to you there. I have a lot of experience with government information, and I can give you some suggestions and help you access it if that's what you're looking for.
Dr. Neiman, I was really particularly interested in finding what has happened to the government, the old-style government purchasing catalog system. It seemed to me that a few months ago when I read back on the e-government initiatives that they were creating the metadata for those catalogs and everyone would be using the same system, and I assumed that the catalog system was maintained, it appeared to be, and that somehow they structured it much like maybe the UNSPSC system is. It was an assumption on my part, and I was trying to compare to see if you had two separate sets of data, large sets of data, and I was wanting to compare them and try to find something useful for my own work.
Okay, why don't you, if you could send me the reference to that, because as you were talking, I was thinking multiple possibilities. We have a lot of redundancy in the government, so you have the specific catalog data system you're referring to, or the several, you send it to
Having worked and purchased through the government for a number of years, you know, buyers always got a set of catalogs that go through, that find something and have a number, a name, and a category.
Yeah. And so there, what comes to mind is like GSA does a lot of centralized purchasing. They have it's called Smart Buy. They have, if you're talking about IT services and products, they're talking about like office supplies. There are a number of catalogs. GSA usually is the first place
to go to, sure.
I think,
but is this data publicly available?
Well, depends on what you mean by publicly available. It is in the sense that it's expressed on public accessible websites, but if you're referring to getting the raw database,
yes,
then that there could be some obstacles to that. But that's what I could help you with. We could be more specific,
okay,
and drill down into that and find out what you want, and then find out the forms that it's in. Some of these catalogs are just there as a complete catalog in a PDF file, but you have to do a fair amount of work to repurpose it.
Oh, sure, yeah. I did find some of that.
A lot of web databases are, you can screen scrape their results, but that's pretty inefficient. If you actually ask for the relational database file or whatever form it's in.
I thought about doing an FOI to get some of this data, but I thought perhaps you knew of a quicker way.
No, I talk about the right person.
Things, but I would need to have more.
Know something more specific.
Database. So if you can, look at the GSA website and if you find a couple of examples or URLs, then I can be of more help.
Okay.
Now, if you find references to the city, could you post it to the Ontolog group?
I would be glad to. I'm really trying to do I'm trying to create an ontology for an industry sector that has thousands of things that they're involved in. And so looking at the UNSBSC data, I found that I was going to have tons of work to do. So the next best thing I thought was to take a look at the e-government initiative and see if the cataloging, which sells, there's a lot of crossover intersections, if you will, as to what this industry is focused on and what the government actually buys, and I figured that might be a better way to go.
I know that's exciting, and I would really like to work with you and help you with that, because I think that would be a very valuable project to do. So, and I've got several people, once I have more specific, several people like Elliot Christian and others who are really expert in government data sources that I could take that to, and I'm sure we could come up with good answers for you.
Thank you. Is your email? I got in on the thing a little late today.
It's on Brand's namesake page if you click on his links. But
okay.
I'm also happy to announce that Brand has subscribed to the Ontolog forum, so he is part of the community.
Okay.
And for questions that are of general community interest, please ask it through an Ontolog forum posting. And when Brand answers, then we all get
the
answer.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I will do this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I can see this becoming where we demonstrate a little pilot project, what could be done, and then we can propose that in several forms to try to get some funding for that. So.
Okay.
Okay. This is, has been a really exciting presentation and discussion. Maybe we'll try to get the last question. Anyone has one? If not just for administrative purposes, who joined the meeting after we did the roll call at the beginning, besides Cecilia, who signed herself up?
Monica.
Anybody else still online? Joined. Okay. Last chance for a question.
I guess one final suggestion. I think, Peter, it would be very worthwhile for you to talk to Denise Bedford at the World Bank about the Taxonomy Tuesday because I think that that's a group that would benefit from interacting with your forum and vice versa, and they are discussing a lot of very practical work. We got people in law firms and the World Bank, of course, and quite a diverse number of organizations that are all trying to get started or share experience.